Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen you and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our pastors.
And so tonight I wanted to share with you a story. And when's the last time your grandmother ever read you a story? Did any of you ever have nanas that would tuck you in at night and read you stories? Any of you? Let me see your hands. Wave them at me. Well, this nana's going to read you a story tonight. Is that all right? So I want you to get comfortable and I want you to get cozy, okay? Because we're going to go into a place, I call it sanctified imagination. But I want to speak to you tonight about the transformation on the mountain that Jesus took Peter, James, and John to. And let me just talk to you a little bit about what transformation means. And I'm going to, before I start, I want to ask the Holy Spirit for a whole lot of help. Is that okay? Father, I love this house. I love this family. And Lord, my heart and my prayer is that tonight you would open the eyes of our understanding, that you would unlock closed places in our hearts, and that, Father, you would reveal to us a glimpse of the glory and the majesty and the splendor of our King. We live in a world that has parades and riots and says, no king. That's our nation, Father. But we have a king. We have a king. And he is the king of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And I pray tonight, Father, that we would understand our king a little bit more and see him a little bit more clearly tonight. And I ask it, Lord, may it honor you and honor our king. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you are the revelator of the church. Open the eyes of our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a scientific survey and a scientific study on the power of visual communication. Science tells us that we process pictures 60,000 times faster than words. Have you ever heard the saying, a picture speaks 1,000 words? Well, that's true because that's how we're wired. And the word transfigured is a very interesting word because the transfiguration of Jesus Christ is actually spoken of and taught in three of the Gospels, in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Gospel of Mark, and in the Gospel of Luke. And so when God says something three times and tells us something three times, he's obviously bringing home a point. He wants us to pay attention. And so maybe you haven't heard many messages on the transfiguration. But tonight we're going to look at it in depth. Is that all right? And so let me just tell you a little bit about the word transfiguration in the Greek and what it means. Now, I don't speak Greek, so I could probably absolutely slaughter this. But I'm 75 and I'm Nana, so you're going to give me a lot of grace, right? The word transfigured is a very interesting word. The Greek word is metamorpho. It's where we get the word metamorphosis. And it means to transform, literally or figuratively, or to metamorphize, or to change. In the case of the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, it means that the outside of him matched the truth and the reality of the inside of him. They didn't know who he was. They had no idea. He was inhuman. He wasn't just in human form. God took on a human body. That was the plan. From before the foundations of the earth were ever set in place. This was already done and already figured out by God, the Holy Spirit, and the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so God didn't just come into a human body. He became the second person of the Trinity, God the Word, became a man, and he became the last Adam, the last man, because he was going to do something that no one could do but God, and he was going to create something that had never been created before, which was a new creation. He was going to bring forth a companion for him for the eternities. We're called the Bride of Christ, the Church of the Living God. So Jesus' divine nature was veiled. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, it talks about it. And Jesus' divine nature was veiled. In human form, and the transfiguration was a glimpse, just a quick nanosecond of his glory. They didn't know who he was, and they got a glimpse of this on the mountain. The voice of God attesting to the truth of Jesus Christ's sonship was the second time God's voice was heard on this mountain. So they heard his voice, the Father. The first time was at Jesus' baptism into his public ministry by John the Baptist. And this was the second time on the Mountain of Transfiguration. And so this is an important event because, again, a picture speaks a thousand words. And the Lord knew that these men, James and John and Peter, that these men who were going to be pillars in his church that he was bringing forth out of the cross, this bride that was coming, this new creation that was going to be that had never been, they didn't know, they didn't understand, they had heard, he had told them, but they didn't know who he was, and they didn't know what was going to happen and have full understanding of it. And so God knew what they needed, and so he takes them up onto this mountain, and let's go from there. I'm going to read out of Luke chapter 9, and I think it's on the overheads, but just let me read it to you. And this is the rendition in the Gospel of Luke. No, it's in Matthew, it's in Mark, but I'm going to read out of Luke. But I tell you truly, and this is Jesus' words, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up to the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he had said, and while he was saying this, you just got to love Peter, don't you? Open mouth, put in foot. Anybody like that besides me? I mean, I can mess it up anywhere, anytime. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. And when the voice was ceased, Jesus was found alone, but they kept quiet, and they told no one in those days of any of the things that they had seen. Now the Lord gave them strict instruction not to say anything about what they had experienced on this mountain until after the resurrection. Peter writes about it in 2 Peter. John writes about it in 1 John, and he says, we have known, we have handled, we have seen the majesty of God and the Word made flesh. And so, having said that, I want to read an excerpt from an incredible historical novel, and the authors are Brock and Bodie Tyne. They've written several books. If you like to read, I'm going to give them a plug. If you like to read historical spiritual novels, I would recommend their books. They will take you into a beautiful place of sanctified imagination and build your spirit. They live in Jerusalem. They live in Israel. They worked for John Wayne, and they are the ones that were responsible for actually, and some of you don't know who John Wayne was. He was my husband's hero. Got him saved, and he's in heaven. He was a professing Christian before he went home. So I want to read out of this excerpt of their book, if that's all right with you. With a sanctified imagination, I want to read what they wrote about this event, and then we're going to look at what does it mean for us today. Is that okay? Now, Shane and Ron and the graphic team, they have done a great job, and they've illustrated some of these things to us as I read. So just tuck in, let Nana read your story, and let's go. Are you ready? Reading from Third Light, page 361 through 371. By starlight, Yeshua could be clearly seen. So ordinary. So like every man's brother, every man's son, approachable. It was not surprising people questioned who he was, what he was. And no wonder people doubted when they saw him. Messiah? How could Messiah be so ordinary? Son of David? King of Israel? Could a cup fashioned from such common clay contain everything written in the law and the prophets? Wrapped in his prayer shawl, embroidered with the names of God, Yeshua stretched out his arms as they came up to the mountain, as if to summon pinwheels of light and splashes of unmanned color from the ends of the sky. From the four corners of his shawl, the letters encoded into knots and the wraps of the fringes sparkled with cold blue fire. Could you hear it? The wind from Zion seemed to speak the names of the Most High in the branches of the trees. The stones of the mountain resounded with the echoes of creation. Yahweh Roh, the Lord our shepherd, Elohim, God Almighty, Creator, three in one. Adonai, Yahweh Jireh, God who provides, Redeemer, Savior, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Lamb of God, El Elyon, Ancient of Days, El Elyon, God Most High, Yahweh Shammah, the Lord of the Angel Armies, Yahweh Rapha, the Lord our Healer, El Shaddai, God who embraces, the Son of God, Son of Adam, Son of David, Yeshua, Messiah, Shepherd, Redeemer, the Anointed One, Emmanuel, God with us. The heavens themselves declared the glory of Yahweh. The trees clapped their great hands, and the rocks themselves joined in praise to the God of all creation. Then as the men slept around him, Yeshua's face was changing, transforming. A bright radiance was surging from his being. At first it seemed gradual, but then it quickly exploded into an astounding intensity of brilliant, blinding light. It was not as though a beam of light shone down on him, no. Nothing like that. Not like a candle flame or a lamp or ember or the flaming brand of a fire. There was no counterpart on earth for what was happening. Yeshua's body was transformed as if molten diamonds gleamed from his core. Rays of blazing light shot forth from his hands. An awesome inner power altered his appearance until he was something else. Something more than human, more than angelic, majestic, holy, matchless in beauty, fearsome and absolute power. The ground around him was bathed in a mist of unearthly light. Beneath his feet was a pavement of radiant sapphire, dazzling. His hands outstretched to the heavens illuminated the night sky, and the stars themselves broke forth into song and seemed to bow before him as they sparked and flared in the heavens. He turned his head towards the three disciples. His eyes were like the blinding flash of sunrise reflected on the calm waters. Even his garments were whiter than the snows of Mount Hermon. Peter, James, and John reeled back, gasping at one another, tripping, tumbling to the ground, clinging to one another in astonishment. Above them, they could hear whispers, distinct male voices. Holy One of Israel, Lamb of Yahweh, to you alone is glory, Son of the Most High God. To you alone is honor, Son of David. Their words preceded them as suddenly two men appeared from thin air. Solid flesh now, they walked solemnly toward Yeshua. His light illuminated their path, and his glory reflected on their faces. Moses, the priest and the lawgiver, white-bearded, strong like a bull, eyes like a hawk, staff in hand, he was alive and as real as any man. Elijah stood next to him, the prophet bearded, broad-shouldered, and dressed in a rugged homespun, and his hair was black as the raven. The trio stood close together, like old friends meeting on a long journey. The prophet, confirming all that had been written about Messiah. The priest, confirming the covenant of blood between God and Israel. Yeshua, the king, the fulfillment of everything written in the law and the prophets. Elijah stepped forward and bowed and touched his heart. Who is the skies and who can compare with you? He was quoting from the Psalms of God's covenant with David. Moses followed. You are mighty, O Lord. Your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging seas. They spoke openly with Yeshua about his coming death in Jerusalem, his exodus. Moses stated the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world applied once and forever to the doorposts of men's hearts. The Pharaoh of this world forced at last to release his slaves. Elisha agreed. Shame, torment, and death in Jerusalem. A victorious conclusion to the mission of Messiah, the Anointed One. Wavering on his knees as if Peter hadn't heard any of it and batting back the blinding glare, he squinted and called out, "Lord, Lord, it's good for us to be here to see this. If you want, I'll put up 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses." While Peter was speaking, a dark cloud appeared, Shekinah, the glory of Sinai, casting a shadow over them, encasing them in an atmosphere so heavy they could barely breathe. Dangerous energy surrounded the men, crackling, sparkling, and flashing as a voice like thunder flowed from the cloud. The sound of his voice, they fell, crushed to the dust of the earth. It boomed in their hearts, causing terror and a death-chilling fear to shake their very bones. "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And suddenly, no longer was anyone there except Jesus only. Sometimes we read the word and it just goes right past us. Can you even imagine being on that mountain, and out of nowhere came Moses, who they recognized and heard, and Elisha, to look and see their Messiah, their rabbi, this ordinary man, suddenly transform into the reality of who he was, the King of all kings, the Creator of heaven and earth, the second person of the Godhead that the word clearly tells us in Colossians, in Hebrews, in the Gospels, and in the epistles, that all things were made by him, all things were made for him, and he keeps and holds all things together by the word of his power. Who is Jesus? And I think in the 21st century, I don't know about you, but I can get used to the goodness of God. And even though I've gone through the darkest part of my life that I've ever walked through in my 75 years losing my husband, I didn't lose Jim, he went home. But I lost his presence here. And as in marriage, you are woven together and you are one spirit and one flesh. And 45 years together, we were a woven cloth together. And when one is gone, it's as if someone ripped the cloth and you don't know who you are. And the yearning and the missing and the love that has nowhere to go, because you don't stop loving. But the one is not there to love. You have to transfer that love to heaven. And you have to walk in a faith you've never walked in because you've never experienced these things. I can tell you that this one who has made everything, who is the King of all kings, he walks with us very intimately and very closely. And he doesn't let go of us. And he doesn't give up on us. And he doesn't throw us away when we're old and useless. And he doesn't look at us as if we are nothing in his sight. He paid the highest price for you and I. And in your darkest places, as well as your greatest triumphs, the Lord will rejoice with you and walk with you, or he will weep with you and he will carry you through places that you can no longer walk on your own. But this incredible experience that they had, they saw him transform into that which had never been. They knew that he was Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter had just said that in just chapters before that in the book of Luke, in the book of Matthew. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He hadn't yet gone to the cross. It was, we don't know when exactly this happened. It was in the last third of his ministry. But they didn't know him. as the resurrected living King of glory. And God gave them that glimpse when Jesus changed into the reality of who he was. And so I just want to, did you enjoy that, by the way? I was so afraid that was going to be cheesy. You know, cheesy? You get old and you get cheesy. But it put a picture in my heart of something wondrous that happened. And if God spoke of it in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke, then there's reasons why we need 2,000 years later to be able to look at this and stop and think about it and let the Holy Spirit sanctify your imaginations and take you there and begin to see him in a way you've never seen him before. Because we're going to need it. There's reasons. A picture speaks 1,000 words. We process pictures 60 times more quickly than a word. And God wants to begin to give us the image and the likeness of who our King is. We live in a world that is so disrespectful. We live in a world of division and strife, and right is wrong and wrong is right. And we live in a difficult time, even though we live in a time of great comfort and great pleasure. It has actually not helped us. It's hurt us. We've become weak. We don't know what it is to go to war because we've never been in a war. I was part of a generation that went to Vietnam. My first husband was in Vietnam. I remember the draft. I remember that. And now we're in another war, and the world and the nations are divided, and we don't know what's going to happen. God's got a plan. Listen, God's on a timetable. This thing's going to happen. It's like having a baby. When you're pregnant, you are not going to stay pregnant forever. That baby is going to be born one way or another. You're not going to stay that way forever, and we're having a baby. There is about to be birthed a new dispensation. Messiah's kingdom is coming. This world has been under the Pharaoh of this age and held people in slavery, and he has had domination and cruelty over them. He sees us as sheep for the slaughter, and God loves this humanity that he created, and he wants to set us free. But that's not going to just come. We're going to have to fight. We don't have to fight what he's already won, but we're going to have to enforce what he has given us, because the terrorists, Satan and his kingdom, are not going to let go easily. If they can deceive us and stop us, they will. And God knows we need to know who Jesus is. So, just three little things to take away tonight. Is that all right? What does that mean for today? These are three things that the Lord told me to give to you, to remind you of. This isn't anything new. Nana's read you a story. Now I'm going to tuck you in. Number one, hear him. The word from the Lord on that mountain. The Father spoke through that cloud, the Shekinah. And he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." The reason he said that is because Peter and James and John, being in their humanness, looked and saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus, and they brought them all together. Let's build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. No. Moses and Elijah are human. Elisha represents, I'll tell about that later, but they're men. Jesus Christ is the God-man. He kept two natures. He never stopped being God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 says, he holds all things together by the word of his power. He never stopped holding all things together by the word of his power when he was on the earth. But he had two natures. He was all God, but he took on the human nature so that he could come legally through the womb of a virgin. He came through the door of life, didn't come up illegally like John 10 tells us about Satan. The thief comes illegally up. He came legally, and it was planned out to the nth degree. His genealogies. Israel was formed for this. The law was given for this. Who his ancestors would be, who would be in the genealogies. It was planned before the foundations of the world, and everything was fulfilled. Everything was fulfilled. And so when he came, and when God said to Peter, James, and John on that mountain, "This is my beloved son, hear him." What is he saying to us today? So let me just give you my take. Is that all right? There's a lot of voices in my world. There's actually a lot of voices going on in me. I have discovered AI. Yes, Nana has joined the ChatGPT. At first, I didn't want to touch it because it was evil. And then I thought, well, I had this tax problem, and I had this property tax problem, and I went online and researched and researched, and I couldn't find the answer. So then I thought, well, maybe I should ask AI. And so I joined, $20 a month. I'll probably need to schedule that off because I probably don't need it anymore. But I had a conversation with AI. So I'm talking to AI on my iPad, I'm talking to myself, and then I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. I'm saying, is this all right? Can I do this? So I was talking to a whole lot of people there. Kind of wonder, whoa, am I all right? Yeah. So what I'm saying is there's a lot of voices going around. There are social media, there's the news, there's your friends, there's your parents, there's your husband, there's your wife, there's your kids. You're hearing from a whole lot of people all the time. But God says there's only one we need to listen to. And his name is Jesus, the Son of the living God. Hear him. I don't care if you are a pastor of a church, like my kids are, or whether you are owning a company, or whether you're working for somebody, or whether you are just trying to get a job. There are so many voices that want to tell you how to do it. And you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. You have the sovereign Word of God that will give you principles that apply to every situation in your life. You may not find chapter and verse about who to marry or what job to take, but they will give you, the Word will give you the principles and how to ask and how to listen and what God will say and the peace of God that will act as an umpire in your soul to lead you and guide you. But you are to hear him and him only. After he has told you and you've heard from him, then you are able to go and listen. And then you can judge what is God and what isn't when you first hear him. We're wired to hear his voice. John 10:4 says when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him for they know his voice. Isn't that wonderful? That you were born again and wired like a child hears the voice of his parents. You were wired to hear the voice of your Savior. And you will know his voice, and you will identify it, and you will not be confused. If you are having to make decisions right now, if you're in a place where, what do I do, and how do I do this, I can give you some counsel. I can tell you, number one, don't do anything out of fear, because we are not fear-based, we are faith-based. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, and Satan's kingdom works by fear. God's kingdom works by faith. And so do not make a decision in fear or panic or confusion. If you are in that state of being and you're human and you will be because this is life on earth, it's broken. Stop. Don't allow yourself to make the decision until you have gotten with God and you've heard from him. Get in your word. Get to church, because in the corporate anointing, God will speak to you. The first time I heard God's voice in the corporate anointing, when I came back to the Lord when I was 28 years old, was at the YMCA in Santa Barbara at Calvary Chapel. I heard the voice of God. I didn't hear it in my apartment raising my 8-year-old daughter. I didn't hear it at work. I heard it when I made the effort to get into the house of God, and in the corporate anointing, God spoke to me. So how do you hear his voice? Get to church. How do you hear his voice? Open his word. He's the final word in everything in your life. Everything that you hear and that every decision you make without him will be meaningless. Listen, Jim and I have made some really stupid decisions in our lives. We have made a lot of money and we've lost a lot of money in real estate and construction. Do you ever wish you could go back to your young self and say, don't do that? Don't do that. Don't sell that piece of property. You're going to be sorry. So I can say we've lost more money than we've made. But I can also say money is a replenishable resource, so who cares? It's just money. It's your servant. It's not your master. And if you fail, if you're not afraid to fail, that's the very power of getting up again and doing it again and learning from your mistakes. And God will get you where you need to be. Don't be afraid. That was for free. But I've been walking in the state of a new state of being. I've never been a widow. I was single for 9 years raising my daughter, Miranda, and then I married Jim when I was 28, but I was married to him for 45 years and with him for 46, so I've never been alone. I've never been alone. And there was always a voice, and there was this massive man next to me for 45 years. I mean, Jim was a big guy. You know, he kind of hovered over me, and he could have been a little intimidating, but I wasn't ever afraid of him. I mean, he was my husband. I loved him. He was wonderful. He's my hero. But now he's not here. And his voice is not here right now. The only voice I have is the voice of the Word and the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the Father and the voice of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And if I can do it, you can do it. If he can take me through hard times, he will get you through hard times. His Word is final. It is the complete. It's louder than the circumstances. It's louder than the waves of grief that want to overwhelm you. His voice is louder than the fear that wants to encroach upon you. Listen, for me to even get up here in this pulpit, can I tell you at 75, I do not want to do this. I've done this. I've traveled the world, and I've been in big churches preaching. But at 75, as this old lady, I do not want to do this. I'm wearing platform shoes right now. Jesse said, Mom, are you going to fall? I said, well, if I fall, you're just going to have to pick me up, because sometimes I fall off the platforms. What am I saying? I'm saying that it's very easy to listen to the voice in you that says what you're not. It's very easy to look in the mirror, look at your life, and say, I can't. It's very easy to look at where you're at and where you've been. Sometimes you've been in a better place than you are now. Sometimes you haven't been and you're in a great place. But it's easy to get discouraged with yourself, to be your own worst enemy, and to live in fear and doubt instead of faith and life. He is your final word. Hear him. Number two, know the truth of the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The truth of the cross. I've got to know it. That's why Easter is so powerful. Because yes, we're in the dark days of the cross, where he's about to be crucified and God is about to die and lay down his life for us. But that cross secured our redemption. It secured our reconciliation to the Father, and it secures our transformation, because we're not just human beings anymore. Like Jesus was transformed, you are under transformation. You're being transformed from glory to glory, from day to day, from month to month, from year to year. And though the outward man is perishing, the inward woman and man is being renewed day by day, and you are beginning to shine as you look into the Word of God as a mirror. The glory of the Lord and the transformation of who you really are is beginning to shine back on you, and you don't even know how you're changing, but you are. You are. You may be discouraged with where you're at, but God's not. God's not. He knows exactly where you're at. He has every hair on your head counted. Now, I got a wig on. I don't know if he counts the hairs on the wig. But he knows when a hair falls to the ground. He doesn't miss anything, nothing in your life. And so, I've got to know and remind myself. I wake up in the morning, and I've got this old English sheepdog named Ziggy. She's 80 pounds, and she's just been a great companion for me. And she can do crazy things at night. She can hear something and want to get up and bark. And, you know, I could, in the natural, I could be alarmed. I mean, my kids, I had a stranger in my backyard. I called the police, and he just ran off. And I wasn't afraid, but my kids came over, and they brought guns. Like, I would know what to do with a gun. Okay, seriously? I'm going to shoot somebody. I'll probably end up shooting the dog. Then Micah said, well, Nana, you've got to have something. So he goes and gets a tire arm. You know, a big old tire iron. Like, what am I going to do with this? I'm going to beat somebody over the head with it? Really? You think I'm going to do that? I'll probably fall. What am I saying? I'm saying that the reality is, if God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his only begotten Son, but through him freely gives us all things. What can separate us from the love of God that's in him? Peril, famine, sickness, disease, war? What is it on this earth that's going to keep you from the love and the protection of your King? Nothing. It's just what we're going to do with it. And so I've got to know the truth. And so Ziggy was just doing crazy things. And oh, Lord, I got out of bed. It was 2:00 in the morning, and she wanted to go outside, and she's barking. And I'm thinking, oh, gee, Lord, this dog. Then I talked to Ziggy. And I said, Ziggy, if God is for us, who can be against us? I said, Ziggy, come here. Let's go outside. We don't have to fear the darkness, Ziggy. You've got a dog nose, but God is on this property. He will send his angels to give charge over us. We don't have to be afraid of anything. I'm sure if anybody saw what I was doing or heard me, they would think I was a loony. But you know what? At 75, you don't care anymore. You just don't care what they think. But what I'm saying is, when you know what God says, when you know what he's done, when you know that his blood has secured your salvation and your redemption, when you know that he has reconciled you back to the Father, and that now I go to the Father, I don't call him Father anymore. In my old age, I'm calling him Papa. I have a conversation with him all the time. I'm not praying like I used to pray. I'm praying in a whole new way, because I have no one to talk to. So guess who gets to hear me all the time? I have an amazing conversation with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Something is transforming in my life through all the sorrow and the heartache. I am seeing the cross in my life, in this season of my life. Listen, kids, the calling of God never changes. The call of God is irrevocable. You're called of God to be saints, priests, kings, but the assignments will change. You will not always do what you're doing, and you're not always will you be who you are right now. But in faith, wherever he brings you and however he allows you to grow and change, you're going to be better than you've ever been. No matter how hard and how difficult life may get for you, you don't have to be afraid, because you know what he's done on the cross, that he has bought you back, that he's reconciled you to the Father, that you can cry Abba, Papa, to God, that the Holy Spirit has been given, and that he's in us and with us and around us and empowers us, and he brings God's grace and he gives it to us in such special ways. When you think you can't live another day, he says, come, live another day with me. And he gets you up and he beckons you to come, and you go, and life goes on and life begins to change. Know the cross. The blood took on the penalty of death for sin. The debt was paid in full. The blood of Jesus answers every voice and proof of guilt and condemnation against us. Listen, those voices, the blood shuts them up. There is no voice of condemnation that can come against the blood of God. The blood of Jesus secures every promise God has given to us through him. Last one. Live. Live well. And live expecting his return. Live expecting his return. 2 Peter 1:16-19. Are you all right? We're almost done. For we did not, this is when Peter is now speaking of this event that happened. He now speaks about it in 2 Peter. And he writes, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed. Which you do well, Church of the Living God, to heed, from the Apostle Peter. He's speaking to us right now. Deborah Cobray, Rock Church, we have a prophetic word confirmed. I was on that mountain. I saw it. I heard it. Which you will do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. There's a time coming when that day is going to dawn, when time is over, when this is done, and when the Lord returns. As surely as he came, as surely as the prophecies were fulfilled, and experientially and scientifically and exponentially, it is impossible, and it's a number that cannot even be written, of the statistics that say these many prophecies, 360, could be fulfilled and speak of the Messiah coming and what he did in his life. It's impossible. But if God writes Earth's history and made us, and he knows the end from the beginning, then of course he can tell us exactly what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. So if those prophecies were fulfilled, and the ones that are not yet fulfilled are of his coming, and if he said, as far as the east is from the west, the lightning shall flash across the sky, and all the earth will see the coming of the Son of Man. He is coming. He is coming. Peter warned us and said, in the last days there will be scoffers that say, where is his return? Nothing has changed. He warned us that this would happen. But we are closer than we have ever been. And the Lord is at the door, and there is a time coming, and we are in a time right now in the United States and in the world where we need to be on our knees, and we need to be talking to our Father and praying for the Middle East and praying for the nations, because he said this cannot happen until the gospel is preached to every generation and every nation. And we as a church need to rise up and get a missions program in our hearts. If we have one here at The Rock, if you haven't cared, start caring. If you haven't seen the harvest, start asking for the vision of the harvest. If you don't understand the other cultures, all you have to do is go on Netflix and start watching some dramas. I have been doing that. I have watched a Chinese soap opera, Finding Jade, on Netflix. It's all in captions, and I'm a pretty good reader still. And I have fallen in love with the Chinese. They're beautiful. I love them. I love their stories. They told a love story that was like, oh my gosh, without any filth. I could watch it with the Holy Spirit, and I didn't have to say, excuse me, we have to fast forward this or turn it off. Have you ever done that? We're filthy in America. We live in a filthy land. God said, be holy. I'm holy. You know what holy is? It's pure perfection. It's infinite perfection. It's consistency. He's never less than who he is. When he creates, and he's because he's holy, he's never less creative. He doesn't run out of creativity. He doesn't run out of life. He doesn't run out of power. He doesn't run out of anything. He's holy. He's absolute. And he says, you be holy. You know what that means for me to be holy? It means be consistent, Debbie. Be who you are. Be my daughter. Be consistent in your righteousness. Be consistent in your thoughts. Be consistent in your behavior. Be consistent in your faith. Be consistent. Be like I am. I am unchanging. I need you consistent. Be holy. And God says, I'm coming. I'm coming. How is he going to come? Matthew 24:30 said, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Who will meet him? Well, that's why Moses and Elijah were here. The dead in Christ, Moses represents the dead in Christ. Elijah didn't die. He was translated. Moses did. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who remain will be caught up, harpazo, will be raptured up to meet him in the air. Yeah, it's something to clap about. We're coming back with him. Jim's dust that's in the ground right now will be raised up into a new glorified body like Jesus's. My dust will be raised up into a glorified body like Jesus. It's going to happen. The best is yet to come, kids. Who will meet him? Well, I said the dead in Christ will rise first. And then Elijah represented the translated. And I just read that verse. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. What is he saying? Get a vision of who he is. Let the Holy Spirit anoint your sanctified imaginations. Have some fun in the Word of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to take you there, to think about it. Hear him. He's the final authority. Know what was secured for you at the cross, because Satan's a deceiver and he'll try to get over you, and he's a terrorist. Live. Oh, children of God, live well and expect his return, because he's coming again. He's God. I wrote this. Can I just read it to you? Can I have the music ministry up? Daniel saw him, Ezekiel saw him, and John saw him on the island of Patmos. His eyes were like a blazing sun, his face illuminated with the molten light emanating from his being, light and life outpouring from him, because he is the last Adam. He's Abel's offering. He's Noah's Ark. He's the eternal high priest. He is Isaac's ram, Jacob's ladder, Joseph's coat, the Passover lamb, the true manna from heaven. He's the rock of the living waters. He's the tabernacle of creation. He's the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. He is the sin offering, the scapegoat, the bronze serpent in the wilderness, the cities of refuge. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He's Jehovah Mekadash, the Lord our sanctification. He's Jehovah Shama, the Lord is present. He's Jehovah Roi, the Lord our shepherd. He is Elohim, God Almighty, creator, living word of God. He's El Elyon, El Elom, the Ancient of Days. Jehovah Shama, the God of the angel armies. He's the only begotten of the Father. He's the last Adam, the seed of the woman, the seed of David. He's the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He's the maker of all things, visible and invisible. Messiah, shepherd, savior, redeemer, reconciler, restorer of all things. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the faithful high priest. He's the discerner of hearts, the word made flesh, the bread of life, the door, the way, the truth, the light of all life. He's the chief intercessor for mankind. Death could not keep him. The grave could not hold him. He's the resurrected Lord of glory. He is the head of the church. He's the royal bridegroom, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. He is our Savior, our God, our Redeemer, and our King. Lord, we worship you tonight. Could we just sing this?
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wings, dumb power and love. Our God is an awesome.
Oh, sing it again.
Is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with His thumb power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Oh, our God is an awesome God. He
every head bowed and every eye closed. I have already preached this gospel to you tonight. If you're not right with God and you need to get right with God and you're here in this building and you can hear the sound of my voice, He went to the cross for you. He wasn't willing to spend eternity without you. Death is real, hell is real, and God has rescued us from it. If you've never said yes to Jesus Christ and you've never made Him your Savior and your Lord, and you'd like to tonight, I want to give you an opportunity. We want to pray with you before you go home tonight. So if you need to get right with God, if you've been running from God instead of to Him, I'm talking to you. If you've backslidden and you're here tonight and you know you need to get right with God, I'm talking to you. If you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and the Savior of your life, I'm talking to you. And so what I'm going to do quickly is I'm just going to slam my hand on this pulpit. I'm going to count to three, and then I just want you to raise your hands. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. This is between you and God right now. No one else. Are you ready? One, two, three. If you need to get right with God, lift your hand so I can see it. I see a hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Lift them high. My eyes are old, and I need to see you. Wave them at me. I see. Anyone else? All right, there's three of you that I've counted. I'm just going to have you stay in your seat tonight because of the time, but we're going to pray. This is not a magic prayer. This is from your heart to the Father. He hears your heart. But we're going to pray this with you. And if you didn't raise your hand, and you should have, pray this prayer tonight because God brought you here to save you to the uttermost. He loves you, and he's not mad at you. You don't need to clean yourself up. Only he can clean you up. And so with head bows and eyes closed, I want us to pray this prayer. Saints, pray with me. And if you need to pray this prayer tonight, say this out loud. I want you to say, Father, here I am. I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son. I believe that you sent him for me, that he died on that cross, that he's forgiven me, and that I can be reconciled, brought back to you through him. So, Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would save me, that Jesus Christ would be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Father. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to change and walk with you for the rest of my days. Thank you, Father, that I can now say, Jesus Christ is my Savior and he's my Lord. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. If you say that prayer tonight, we want to give you a Bible. We want to give you some things to help you. This is Pastor Joel. He'll be right up here. You can make your way to the front after everyone is dismissed. And we're here for you. We've got a big week ahead of us, saints. Hear him. Know what the cross has done. And remember, he's coming again. So live well and live right. I love you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being my family. May I bless you before you leave. Father, I lift up this incredible congregation. I ask that you'd bless them in the city and you'd bless them in the field. I ask God Almighty that you'd send angels from heaven to protect them and keep them. I ask, Lord God, that their families would be saved to the uttermost. I ask, Father, that you'd open the eyes of their understanding and that they would know you and see you as they never have before. Father, I ask that you'd help them to hear your voice and to live the way you want them to live and to do your works before you call them home. And Lord, we can now say out loud and on purpose that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. And we declare out loud as a family of God that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Did you pray the prayer of salvation today? Hey, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Now, if you weren't able to make it back to the altar care rooms with our teams, we have a digital QR code that you can scan, which will give you access to download our discipleship material, I'm New, What Do I Do? Well, there's a lot happening here at The Rock, and you can stay up to date with us. Simply visit this QR code, and that will take you to our calendar. Select the day that you're looking for to get a full list of what is happening here at The Rock. You can also visit our inner foyers and grab one of our newly released 2026 Rock Life magazines. Well, hey, Rock Church family, it was so fun today being in the presence of God with you. We're believing God for great things in your life, and we'll see you soon at one of our next services. God bless.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can follow us on social media or visit our website at rockchurch.com.